Welcome to the Sorry I Offended You podcast. This is Brandon Marshall Havener back for the first time in 2022. Yeah, it's been crazy. I have excuses to give you though. Today, I want to talk about my thoughts on Bitcoin and the market right now. I've been wanting to do a podcast covering crypto investments and my thoughts around the mindset about investing and all that stuff. But I'm also going to be talking about random shit, random shenanigans in the beginning. All the thoughts, all the random thoughts I've been holding in since I haven't been doing this podcast. We're going to do that. What else? Is there anything I wanted to cover? I had something on my... Okay, I got it. So anyway, I haven't been on this podcast in a while. There's some valid excuses and some invalid excuses. Let me take a sip of coffee. But truly, I want to... This year, my resolution for 2022 is I really want to put a lot of energy and consistency into this podcast. And also, I'm planning for a new YouTube channel coming soon. I really want to bring in more long-form content. You know, it's nice shit posting on Facebook and giving my hot takes on Twitter. If you're not following me on Twitter, you can follow me at Brandon M. Havener. I love posting some crazy shit on Instagram stories and all that stuff. But I really, really want to do more, you know, just add more intention into the art that I'm putting out into the world, basically. So I started this year catching the Omicron, fucking Omicron. It finally got me. The Rona finally got me after 2 years of talking shit. So that's cool. It was intense for a few days. And then I had this weird fucking feeling in my nose. And then I'm still kind of like developing my lung capacity back. So that's cool. And I know this is such a typical new age thing to say, but I just feel like it's given me so many lessons. Like it just allowed me to slow down a bit and see my value when I'm not moving 100 miles per hour or whatever. And really deal with the thoughts of the discomfort of not doing, like not being hard on myself for not coming on here and doing a podcast or whatever. I joke around a lot about this Rona shit. And I want to say this. I think we should joke around about it. Because the narrative is about placing people in fear and trying to control others and things like that. But I'm not ignorant to the fact of, you know, the impact it has on some people or not being exactly like a cold. Like, you know, I don't think I remember having a sickness where I had to sort of rebuild my lung capacity on this level. So, you know, It's got a different taste to it, different flavor to it, but it is what it is. You know what I mean? Like I recovered. It's cool. It's whatever, you know, live your life. Part of it, you know, part of the thing is I don't, earlier in my life, I've really come to terms with not fearing death. And I think a lot of people in this world right now have an uncomfortable relationship with death and missing out on the faith that they have. Another thing is faith, right? Like you could be, I grew up in the Catholic Church and I found it to be less than ideal. I found that my second grade teacher in Sunday school telling me I would go to hell if I don't find a way to get to church on Sunday, even though it was my parents' responsibility to drive me at that time because I was 7 fucking years old. But basically the teacher said, me and my family are going to hell if we don't show up to church on a consistent basis. So, yeah, it just didn't sit with me well. But my point is that I went through life sort of being resentful about religion and a little back and forth between sort of not being in tune with my spirituality and then being brought back to spirituality, things of that nature. And my whole point is when you throw out religion, something's got to fill that void. And I think for a lot of people, they throw out the grounded structure in having faith in God, etc. And they do that. And then what fills that void is this fearful mindset. Like they feel like they're free in a way for not believing in God or a higher power, but also they live in immense fear because they don't believe in a God or a higher power or a life beyond this, or they don't connect a lot of meaning to life that, if you were in tune with your spirituality, that you would. So there's this fear of death and there's this fear of not having control. Like I really think the virus itself, even for me, it challenges your perception on what you can control. And it's like going through the washing machine and just surrendering to that pain. It's like, it kind of reminds me, and maybe I'll go deeper into this on another episode, but my experience with Combo, which is frog, I guess you would call it frog poison, but it's more of like a secretion that kind of activates the body to where you're fucking puking. But basically, I got these burn marks, and you get this combo put on your skin. And for 20 minutes, you go through this experience. Your heart starts beating pretty fast. You're feeling nauseous. And then you puke. You puke out a lot of your demons or whatever. I see it as the same thing, like something that the facilitator, Bearheart, he told me during that process is to continue the mantra of saying, thank you, combo. Thank you, combo. Thank you, combo. And it's like you're being taken into this whirlwind and you're feeling this place where you're not in full control. Fear may come up, you're feeling nauseous, but it's like you're being taken through an experience where you're growing from it. And I don't know, that's how I felt about the Rona. It kind of felt like a fucking fever, and I never really get fevers anymore, except for recently. And it kind of reminded me of my childhood, because that's my childhood is the last time I remembered having a fever. So that was fun. I'm feeling really good today, though. So anyway, let's move on from the Rona. My thoughts and prayers are with you. If you're experiencing any symptoms, it seems like everyone is getting it. My thoughts also still stand on the posts I made on Instagram and Facebook about showing the coronavirus test and saying it's a cold, you attention-seeking cunt. Because I just feel like people milk this shit. Where it's like, good for you, you got the new strand. Like, I mean, it's like some people just, it's whatever. It's just like some people just, don't get me, I'm not even gonna get started. Like, look, you're a young person, you have a good immune system. Just do what you need to do, work through it. You don't have to like get everyone to fucking circle around you and say, oh, you poor thing, every step of the way, The other thing is, I fucking gave this shit to Rebecca, and then she recovers the next day. And then I'm still like, she gets it after me and then recovers before me. And it's like, the spiritual side of me is like, that's great. My life partner, my fiance is a healthy being, and I'm glad she's okay. But the smart ass part of me is like, what the fuck? You got to pay your dues like I did. Like, what? No, I Googled it though. It's apparently women's estrogen helps them recover quicker. I guess that's what we exchange for, women having menstrual cycles and pregnancy and stuff. I think we men have more intense colds. It's basically the same thing as pregnancy. Like, an intense cold for a man is what intense is what a pregnancy feels like for a woman. So, it's a trade-off. And now I understand why I saw a meme of a woman tweeting, "Don't date men with podcast." I was wondering why, and when I said that thought, I understand why she feels that way. She probably listened to this podcast and came up with that thought. Like, seriously? He fucking compared a cold to pregnancy? Anyway, where am I? Where am I in this conversation? Okay, so enough with the Omicron talk. I also want to say that I saw no spoilers. I'm not going to spoil Dexter New Blood because that would be a completely dick move if you were listening to a podcast that had like fucking crypto and Bitcoin in the title and you didn't watch Dexter New Blood yet and I fucking spoiled it. You didn't even get warning. Like it's like an even more asshole spoiling, like a spoiling out of you. It's like you did. It's like worse than not having a spoiler warning. You just come in on this random podcast and you're like, what the fuck? Why is he talking about Dexter? So I won't do that to you, but I do want to share my feelings about it without giving away the story. My feelings are, I watched it. I watched the show. I thought when I was watching most of the show, I was like, this is some brilliant writing. I really like how they tied this together. I really like the contrast between this Dexter and the previous seasons, etc. I really like how they tied this in. So like I was gushing of how brilliant the show was. And then the end came. And then the end came. And without giving any details, I just want to say that they completely disrespected, just completely shitted on the legacy of Dexter and everything that he is. Like is I get it. He's a serial killer. I understand, but he also a serial killer that kills bad people. So it's like there's mixed feelings for the audience. Like, he's doing bad things, but he's also doing bad things for the good. And that's a whole process of it. And they just shit it on him. And I just feel like everything is coded in woke bullshit. Like, I can't run away from it anymore. It's just everything is coded in woke bullshit. And it snuck up on me. I didn't think it was, I thought Dexter was clean from it. And then I was like, fuck, they tricked me. They duped me. Fuck, what the fuck? So that's how I feel about it. It's worth watching, I think. But it's just a shame because Dexter's character in general, and again, I'm not going into any specifics of this season, but Dexter's character, he's kind of like someone you would respect because he's a protector in some way. Like, I notice he always, a serial killer, but a protector of women. Even in that season, you can see where he would go out of his way to be a protector of women from the extremely sick, bad people. And I just feel like he didn't get his credit due. Like, yeah, he should be criticized for being a serial killer that killed over 100 people for sure. That's a bad thing. Even if you are killing bad people, maybe, I don't know. I'm kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it's that bad, but he did have some slip ups in his career. But to throw it all away and not give him his flowers at all, I'm not cool with that. I think they really, I think he did, I think they did it. The writers did him dirty in the end. They did him dirty. What else do I gotta complain about before I get into the actual bit? See, you gotta hear me complain about at least three things before I talk about the topic. So I've been watching commercials lately. I've been watching commercials because I've been watching football. And usually I'm not a commercial guy. Usually I'm not a Netflix guy, you know. And I don't remember if I even like watch a Netflix show recently. Because Dexter is on Amazon, I think. But Amazon's bad too. I just don't like this. Most of the, you'd have to like give me a good reason to watch a stream a show for like 11 hours. Especially now. I mean, it's just like, you gotta sort through the garbage. But anyway, I'm not a TV watcher either. Except for when it comes down to football. Been watching some playoff football. Been catching up on, you know, been becoming more aware of some of the commercials. And I got some things to say about these commercials. Just two. One, I forgot what the product is called, but it's supposed to save you from colon cancer. And my only issue with this commercial is that it's this married couple, and they're playing this great, this happy music or whatever, and they're telling them about how they can save their colons. And they're both like smiling like they're at a fucking picnic. It's like, it's just the strangest thing ever if you actually sit down and analyze what the fuck you're watching. I'm like, they're fucking holding hands like they're getting married, but they're being lectured about colon cancer? Like, what? I don't know. I can't laugh. Oh, I told you I was working on my, I still have my cough a little bit, and I'm working on my lung capacity. I can't be laughing. When I laugh, it just takes me out. I gotta take a nap afterwards. Oh, God. So they're like holding hands like they're in this happy union, but they're being lectured about colon cancer. I'm not anti-colon cancer. People who have colon cancer, I'm sorry. I'm not colon phobic. I'm sorry if you do have colon cancer. I just think the commercials are ridiculous. And if that product will help you get over, to help save you from colon cancer, then my heart goes out to you and I'm glad. But it's just like, that commercial is so ridiculous. Okay, so there's a colon cancer commercial. And then the other, there's many commercials I have beef with, but we only have so little time here. And I don't want to make this entire podcast a commercial roasting podcast. But another commercial I have deep issues with is the Amazon Prime commercial. Now, mind you, I didn't even know this was an Amazon Prime commercial because fucking, it hasn't, I don't know. It's just, it doesn't, like when you're just watching shit, it's like, I feel like marketing is so fucking bad for big companies. You watch it and you're like, what is this for? I don't fucking get it. And you'd actually have to like study, like you'd have to like watch the commercial closely to know it's a fucking, you know, Amazon Prime commercial. So the way I found out it was an Amazon Prime commercial is because I looked it up on YouTube and I'm like, what the fuck is this? This Medusa commercial, right? So anyway, in this commercial, Medusa is in her fucking cave or something. You know, Medusa is the mythological woman with snake hair, and she looks at people and turns into stone. Just for your history lesson, if you didn't know that. So fucking Medusa is in a cave, and she's like devastated that she can't have a social life because she's fucking Medusa, and she always turns people into stone when she looks at them. So then this one, I guess this woman comes into the cave. Maybe it's her servant or something. I don't know. But she turns her into stone and she's like, oh my God, I'll never be able to go out to the club again. Or ever. I don't know if she ever had a life. But apparently Amazon Prime saves her life because now she can order sunglasses, I guess. So she orders sunglasses, and then she goes out to this bar of some sorts. I think it's outside, maybe. I don't know. And she's like walking around. She's got a fucking tail hanging out of her dress and her snake hair going everywhere. And she's got her sunglasses on, and she's having a good time. She meets up with her friends. This is all in a 30-second clip, by the way. So she meets up with her friends and they're like, yeah, da, da, da. And then this bartender, you know, mind you, like, look at the context here. Mind you, this is probably the first man that has ever looked her way with her snake head having ass. He just winks at her. Like, he winks at her and she gets angry and takes off her sunglasses and turns him into stone. His bottom part of his jaw falls off. And I think her friend's like, yeah, he deserved it. And I'm like, what? What? And I get it. It's like comedy, but also very hateful things can be hidden behind comedy. And I'm just like, that's how, like, whoever wrote this script for the commercial must really fucking hate men. But it's like, he winked at you. And you're a woman with snake hair that turns people into fucking stone. You went out for the first time and a mortal man has shown interest to you. And I get it. There's a lot of creepy men out there. I get it. I think catcalling is bad. Is it considered catcalling to, like, give somebody a glance and be like, hey, I'm showing interest in you? Like, he didn't go up to her and, like, grab her. He didn't, like, fucking... He didn't, like, fucking say anything derogatory. He just winked. Like, he was doing the best he could to show interest. Maybe, you know, like, maybe he was a player. Maybe he has a backstory of being known for dating many Medusa women. Is Medusa a race or is it just one person? Maybe he has a kink for women with snakes on their head. And he's ghosted a lot of them. And maybe Medusa was getting revenge. But I can only work with this 30-second clip. And the 30-second clip, I just feel like the situation could have been de-escalated. You know, she could have rolled her eyes at him or just said, no, thank you, I'm not interested. And then you could see if he was, like, a fucking creep or not, if he persisted after she said no. But, like, I just think it's a little over the top to turn a man into stone just because he thought he wanted to get to know you and was interested in you. I don't know. I just think it's a little unfair. Like, imagine if the roles were reversed. Like, if it was a man going out and he was like Cyclops from X-Men, right? And he's hanging out with his bros. And then this woman, like, looked at him and licked her lips. And he just, like, took off his glasses and burned her into ashes. And he just said, yeah, she had it coming. Like, what? Like, people would be in a fucking outrage. Like, this is calling violence towards women. Like, you wouldn't hear the end of it. You would see it all over your newsfeed of, like, this fucking Amazon Prime commercial where Cyclops burns a woman into ashes just for being interested in him. So, you know, just something to think about. Anyway, I got that off my chest. It was on my chest for a while, so I had to get it off my chest on this podcast. Now we're going into a more serious portion of this podcast, and we're going to talk about some crypto. So if you came here for the crypto, congratulations. You went on quite a ride. So right now, as I'm as I'm talking about this, Bitcoin is at 36,000. The world has gone mad. The Bitcoin haters are laughing at the misfortune of people holding cryptocurrency. But me, I am a hodler myself, which is a holder. And I'm holding Bitcoin and I am not sad. I'm going to keep investing. Every month, I invest more and more, and when it's cheaper, I get happier about it. And I want to say why. So when I talk about this, sometimes I watch people talk about Bitcoin and they say this is not financial advice. So I don't know if that makes me, you know, if that protects me legally, I'll say that. This is not financial advice. No, thank you very much. I don't know what the fuck the laws are. But anyway, I invest through Coinbase and I also invest through crypto.com. And while I talk about this, basically where I'm aiming at is I want to touch the mindset around crypto and investing in general. So some of this, you can take this with stocks as well. You know, I've been an avid investor since my 20s. And I've always been that type of person who's very interested in sort of, I don't want to say the game as if it's a gamble because it's not. I think you need to be an intelligent investor. But to me, it is like a game to me in some ways where it's like I get to play with the money that I have. And, you know, I get to really strategize over the positions that I take. And I really enjoy it. So I'm not going to be talking about in details of green candles and fucking the market trends necessarily or day trading and shit like that. But I want to talk about how to basically keep your mind steady through the ebbs and flows of the market. And some things to consider to where you don't fuck up your money. So there's a man by the name of Warren Buffett, and he said something wise that always stuck to me for a long time now. And he said, when the market is scared, be greedy. When the market is greedy, be scared. And we were talking about Dexter earlier. That's part of my code. So basically, Warren Buffett is like my Harry, and he's given me a code. Another thing that Warren Buffett says is that he invests in basically companies that he can see being there long term. So basically his strategy, if you were to simplify it, is he has companies that he trusts in and he buys when the market is scared because he knows those companies have longevity and he can make a profit off of that. Now, I have examples of that when the pandemic hit. I made money off of Southwest Airlines. I made money off of, what the fuck else? Starbucks. I made money off of, there was a lot of stocks that were just basically cut in half, but I knew those companies were going to stay a while. I think there was it fucking lithium? It was something, I'd have to look. But anyway, Southwest, Starbucks, and some other shit. Like just basically if you think of companies that are there, that are going to, you know, be there for a while, then yeah. So, and something happened in the world, then you know that, hey, I can pretty much guarantee that I'm going to get a profit from this if I jump in. Oh, and live entertainment. So I realized with the pandemic, a lot less people were going to go out to concerts and shit. And, you know, and Eventbrite. So, and those were some of the things, like I was having a conversation with Rebecca and she was really good at like, well, this company. I was like, fuck it, let's do it. So those are some things that I invested in and flawlessly, over the past few years, flawlessly had gains. The one mistake I did make is I sold AMC way too fucking early because there was like a boom in AMC. And I know I'm talking about stocks right now. And I said I was going to talk about Bitcoins and crypto, but the same mentality goes here. So right now, as I'm recording this, both the stock market and crypto coins are down. And there's a lot of people who made some very emotional decisions to sell when they were at a loss because they had their emotions tied to this number. And there's ways around that, in my opinion. And I really think it takes like a level of masculine energy. And I always say this, but it's like when I talk about masculine and feminine energy, I'm not tying it to gender. And in many ways it is tied to gender, But there's ways that you can utilize masculine and feminine energy, no matter what your gender is, to understand things, you know, to understand how to weather storms and things of that nature, and understand what aspects of you are connected to what when you're running your business and making investments. So, had to take a sip of my half-caffeinated coffee. Right now, the market is scared, and it's good, both the stock market and Bitcoin. So it's good to be greedy. And to my opinion, and by my experience, and by the Warren Buffett code, and by the way, Warren Buffett doesn't like Bitcoin. That's like one detail that I ignore. I'm like, he's an old man. He's not into the crypto shit. That's fine. But by this code, it means that if you invest and you have a long, there's many things that come to this where that helps me stabilize. So for one thing is with these investments like Bitcoin, I'm a fan of Tesla. I could invest a little bit more in Tesla, but Bitcoin, Tesla, Ethereum. So Tesla is a stock, Ethereum and Bitcoin are cryptos, just to get things clear. Those are things I see staying for long term. And where I can comfortably say that I have a 10-year plan for this if all things go wrong. By the way, this is the same if you're investing in real estate, right? For any investment, to have that long-term plan. So it's like, if Bitcoin shoots down to 20,000, yes, my portfolio will be low, but I wouldn't have lost money because I didn't sell it. And if I have a 10-year plan and I'm looking at basically my 10-year plan ending at 2031, and maybe my plan is longer than that, but at least I have a 10-year plan, then I invest my money and I see Bitcoin fall to 20,000 and my portfolio is at a dip, but it doesn't bother me because I'm willing to not touch that money until 10 years. So what does this require? It requires you not to go off on the deep end and mortgage your house into crypto. You don't want to do that. You want to invest an amount of money that you won't die if you part ways with. An amount of money that you won't be devastated if you part ways with it completely. Because that will help you remain emotionally stable within your investments. And also I would think about the long game. And I'm kind of talking to myself here because I got very eager last month. And it's like, and I was thinking like, there's a dip. I just want to buy so much. And that is honoring the code when the market is scared, be greedy. But also I looked at my eagerness to get into all these investments and remind myself that, hey, this is a long game. I don't have to, you know, have this unquenched hunger or unquenched thirst to get rich off of one dip, right? You know, I'm gonna invest in the dip, but it's a gradual thing. So it's good to just be patient and just know that through the ebbs and flows, and this is where the masculine energy comes in, through the ebbs and flows of whatever market that you're in, that your energy is stabilized and you're not chasing it. You're not chasing the storm. You're not chasing the market. If you see, like, even when the market dips in a way, right? Like I said, like, I got eager and then I restabilized myself and said, wait, you know, like, you know, just keep gradually investing. You don't have to go crazy. You don't have to, like, dip into your savings account and throw that in as well. Stabilize. Ground yourself. But I think it's better for me to be eager during the dip than being eager when the prices are high and trying to chase trends and stuff. So that's what helps me, because my portfolio might be, my portfolio was up in the summer. I didn't make some, you know, I did sell some things off. So I'm still celebrating my wins and cashing out, right? When the market goes up. But when it goes down, you know, like my portfolio overall, if you look at it, it'd be in the red right now, but I'm not in the red because I didn't sell it. If I was a panic seller, I would sell it and I would lose a lot of money. But if I'm patient and I'm a Jedi Knight about this shit, and even if I wait 5 years, right? Not even 5 years, like, it, you know, the market will probably blow up again this year or, you know, early next year. You never, probably this year. But the thing is I'm not attached to those timelines because I don't invest an amount of money that would kill me if I didn't make that money or if I didn't break even and I have a plan, right? The point is, let's say 5 years as a conservative number. If it goes up in 5 years, then I benefit and this moment in time doesn't fucking matter, right? So, you know, in 5 years, if Bitcoin is at 150,000, I have a lot of money that I can either cash out or hold, or a little bit of both. And this moment where there's a dip doesn't matter. And that's something to remind yourself of. No matter what investment that you make, you need to sell yourself on that investment and you need to investigate that investment to make sure it's something that you're willing to stay with. And, you know, like a quote that I felt was very accurate is, I'm all about swing trading. And swing trading meaning is you stay with an investment for an extended period of time, but then you sell off. But my part of my code there is exactly like I feel that a man should be, or any person should be when dating, is, and in my values, not saying that you should have these same values, but in dating, my values are, it's like, don't sleep with somebody that you can't see yourself with long-term. Now I never, when I was in my earlier years, I didn't always go by that code, but as I wisened up, I felt like that was a necessary part of the code. And the same thing is with investments. It's like, don't just try to have one night stands with investments because you think you can pop like a fucking quick, you know, a quick gain, right? Because you could catch yourself with your pants down with the wrong investment and then you fucked up. That's my thing. Now, other people might teach you differently, but that's my code. And it's like, for me, it's like, I'll see if I can get a short-term gain with an investment and multiply my money. But if shit goes sideways with an investment I was willing to marry or willing to be in a long-term relationship with, so I can ride through the waves instead of panicking and selling and losing money. So that's how I do it. Also, a word of advice is, word of advice is learn how to do this yourself and equip yourself and be savvy about the market instead of answering a cold message from somebody on social media saying that they can invest your money into crypto for you. I think a lot of people shoot themselves in the foot if they're not investment savvy or at least like knowing the basics. You know, no disrespect to the person who DM'd me, but they had a quote unquote opportunity for me about some kind of crypto thing. And it was kind of vague to me and I didn't pull the trigger on it. And then the person tells me that it all sunk. So wait, like I could have given you my life savings to like put into crypto investments or whatever, only for you to tell me that the shit sank. So it's like, there's a lot of ways that you could lose your money out there. And I think just the best way is to get to the point where you're comfortable with investing and an invest amount, an amount that you're comfortable investing with instead of something that has you on the edge of your seat. Download Coinbase or crypto.com or Binance or whatever. My main one is Coinbase. And just invest and learn the app and things of that. Look up people. There's some good people on YouTube that I trust. Layla Halpern being one of them. The Investing Tutor being another one. I think that's I'm not a Bitcoin guru or nothing. I'm just trying to put you on some game so you can start your journey of being a savvy investor. But yeah, it's like you can do this stuff yourself. And if you go by the basic code and you don't put your whole life on the line and you have a little bit of an exit strategy or a plan long term, then you're less likely to get fucked, right? And that's what's helped me in my success of virtually being in the green all the time. Like I think my biggest slip-ups in the past, which was like 10 years ago, is when I got into options and I really got impatient and I was really trying to like replace my income with options. Options are a tricky game because time is against you in a way. You know, you get a lot of leverage, but you're dealing with time. And I just feel like, hey, the market is unpredictable. And if I have all the time on my side, then I can win. And I'm willing to wait it out so I can win. And that's how I go. If you're interested in some of the things that I'm investing in right now, here's my plan. Not saying that my plan is for you. You can look things up yourself. But my plan is majority of my money is in Bitcoin. And I did my secondary, and I recommend for you for your secondary portion is Ethereum. Now, I sold off my Ethereum when it was up. So I'm kind of out of the Ethereum game right now. And I think I put like a lot of that into Bitcoin. So I can rebuild my Ethereum. Other crypto investments I've made is Avalanche, which is sort of it's like a alternative to Ethereum. Solana, which is also an alternative to Ethereum. Cardano might be my second most invested in right now. And that's just like at a discount price. It's at like 106. Decentraland is AKA Mana. Decentraland is basically a metaverse coin. So I dipped into some metaverse investments. Chainlink, crypto.com, and I still got some in Shiba. Now, fuck, man. Shiba, I don't know if I'd fully trust Shiba, but it does generate hype. So it's just, I wouldn't recommend putting the majority of your money in Shiba. Like I just kind of put money in where, you know, I'm willing to part ways with, like extra willing to part ways with into Shiba. And, you know, the dog Shiba Inu. And I feel like there's definitely an opportunity for a high ceiling there. But if Shiba doesn't do its thing, then, you know, I'm not going to be eating beans out of a can, you know, so it's all good. But to me, I feel like Bitcoin is the most solid investment out of all cryptos. Ethereum and Cardano, Avalanche and Solana being up there, like secondary solid investments. And Shiba and Dogecoin, for example, are more like shit coins where it's like it could go either way. You shouldn't be putting everything on it, in my opinion, because there's not really value tied to that. So it's like, you know, you don't really want to go crazy on that. And then something else I've invested in as well is Litecoin. So just kind of sharing my investments. And then my stock investments right now is Tesla. And I'm also thinking of I haven't invested yet, but I'm thinking of investing in lithium because of, you know, the future of electric cars and things of that nature. So I'm really bullish on Tesla and lithium. And same thing goes. That's like a long-term plan, a long-term 10-year plan for me as well, because I'm just looking into future growth. And I feel like there's a lot of room for growth when it comes to Tesla, when it comes to lithium, which is, you know, used for the batteries for electric cars. And I'm very bullish on Bitcoin, of course, like staying simple with the coin, the crypto coins, very bullish on Bitcoin, because I just feel like Bitcoin, it's the future of currency. It's decentralized. And there's, you know, there's a value there. People are picking it up. Like there's currency exchanges popping up all over the place where you can exchange it for Bitcoin. I think it's very volatile, and volatile can be a bad or a good thing depending on how you look at it. It can be a bad thing because it can the volatility can go low, but it can also shoot up. And the thing is, the reason why it's volatile is because it's still stabilizing itself as a pillar in our society and how we operate. So, you know, that's the thing. You know, the internet was volatile before it became super popular, right? Social media was a bit volatile. Anything new and upcoming can be volatile, but, you know, it's that's a part of like being in early on. And it's still early on. Like if I were to look at crypto right now, I would say it's like the same thing as social media, maybe during the early days of Facebook in like 2008 or something like that. It's like, I still feel that cryptocurrencies is early on and it's such a good time to invest. It's not too late to invest. And I think the smart thing to do, instead of obsessing about getting a good deal on Bitcoin and things of that nature, is to establish a comfortable level of investment that you make every month. And everything kind of evens out, especially if you're holding long term. You know, you may buy a lot at a discounted price. You may notice it dips more and you didn't get it at a discounted price. But at the end, if you're looking long term and you're consistently investing, that investment will grow. And if you're patient with it and you don't make any crazy decisions and you hold it out and you're allowing yourself to detach yourself from that money to where you don't pull it out prematurely. So that's a big thing. And I think another common thing that comes up for people is, well, what coin wins, right? Well, yeah, there's going to be some coins that lose for sure. But the same thing with stocks, I would look at coins. And I think sometimes it can be a lot thinking that like one is going to replace currency or whatever, but you got to look at it as like ingredients for a cake. Bitcoin has its place while Ethereum has its place as well. Like they're not, you know, they both have their own purposes, just like Solana has its own purpose, etc. So you really want to go with the coins with a purpose. Shiba, sometimes it feels like there's a little bit of a cult following and a purpose to it, but it's still shitcoin territory to me. But if you stick to the main ones, I feel like you're going to win. I'd still recommend, outside of this podcast, really looking up investments and studying investments before making them. I think Bitcoin is a safe bet. But, you know, follow the people I mentioned, Layla Halpern, Wendy O, her name's Wendy O, and the Investing Tutor. You know, even starting out with them, and just like taking everybody's information with a grain of salt, doing your own research and making the decisions. I don't believe that anyone on this planet can tell you exactly what you need to do, but you can look at what people are doing, what reasons they give to what investments they're making. Go buy a code like I do, so you're stabilized and you don't make any drastic decisions that will cost you, and you'll win in the end. Because to me, investing is not gambling. You can make it a gamble, but it's not gambling if you're intelligent about it, you do your research, and you don't make any drastic decisions when the weather is crazy like it is now. Yes, the weather is crazy now, but I didn't sell a fucking thing because I'm gonna be in the green, baby. So that's my crypto advice I want to land upon you. Thank you for listening to this. If you like this episode, share it on your Instagram stories or your Facebook or your Twitter or your TikTok. Can you? I don't even know if you can share it on the TikToks, but share it somewhere. Email your friend about it or something. Give it a 5-star review if you're on Apple. And just thank you for being a loyal listener. Thank you for sticking with me, even though this is my first of 2022. And I plan to be on here more often. I think I've said that before. But I guess that's my resolution. I don't do resolutions, but that's my resolution. So thank you for listening. This is Brandon Marshall Havener signing out, and until next time.